Now think about a time when you've sang outside of these walls. Now, I've sang outside of these walls many hymns, not necessarily in a church setting. When we went up to Canada, I know I annoyed the snot out of everybody I was with as we were paddling against the wind and, you know, Bob Seger, Against the Wind. That's all that came to my mind. Or We'll Work Till Jesus Comes, as hard as we can go. Anthems at a ball game, my old Kentucky home. We've sang these songs. Birthdays. Think about how many times we've sang at birthday parties for our kids or coworkers or friends and family. Maybe even to teach your child something, to emplace something in their mind that's easier to understand with a song than it is just verbatim memorization. Maybe it worked to trudge forward with something, a task that you have to do. What do all these instances have in common? Well, as far as the birthday stuff goes, we'll park on that for a moment. You're singing to show honor and praise that individual that you're there to show honor to and praise, right? Now, have we ever gone to a birthday party where you did not want to praise said individual? Maybe a coworker that is a jerk. Maybe your boss, you just go and put in your time and sing happy birthday. Have you noticed a difference in the singing of happy birthday at your jerk coworker's birthday party and perhaps your child's birthday party or grandmother's birthday party? Have you thought about why that, Ellis thought about that? Thanks for raising your hand, honey. So yeah, you see a difference. Happy birthday. Or, I don't have to do that. We know the difference. I want you to remember the joy that Christ has given to us tonight when we sing. I want us to look at Psalm chapter 33 and see what David has to say about joyously coming together with the Lord in song, praising Him, honoring Him in a jubilant manner. And yes, I understand that not all songs reflect a march pace. I get that. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is our focus. And I want our singing, like I've said already, to reflect that joy. Pretty simple, right? For those of you who have been saved, there's a morning of joy, if you will, no pun intended, when you rise up out of that water, when you've killed your old self, you've been buried. You've buried your old self and you've risen up a new creature. I feel like I broke my dad's ribs. I hugged him so hard when I came up out of that water. You remember what that feeling was like when you made that decision? Maybe you've not made that decision and you've never felt anything like that. I don't even know what it would come close to. Maybe the birth of a child, because it's a rebirth, a total dependence on God. I want to feel that again one day. Psalm chapter 33. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise His is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to Him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of loving kindness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth, all their hosts. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him, for He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart from generation to generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From His dwelling place He looks out. On all the inhabitants of the earth, He who fashions the hearts of them all, He who understands all their works. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory. Nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope for His loving kindness to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let Thy loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hoped in Thee. In the first three verses of that, 1-3, we see that the righteous ones sing, and to the righteous and upright, praise to God is beautiful or becoming. Or in other words, you want to do it. We like beautiful things. We want to be a part of beautiful things. The gift we have is a beautiful gift. We want to sing about that. Now, there's a visitor in the audience. Not today, so not trying to call out any visitors necessarily tonight. But there's an individual maybe a year or so ago who sat in front of me, and I couldn't find the tune in the bucket. I mean, it was bad. It was bad. I could not figure out the key we were in. I could not sing along to, you know, all right, you get it. I was off. The guy put a finger in his ear. I wanted to hit the guy, but obviously, you know, probably not going to do that. I hated the fact that I was distracting him so much that he felt the need that he had to block the sound coming from behind him out of his mind to praise God. But it bothered me. The pressure that was on me that day was almost as much as the first day we were clicking the PowerPoint slides. You know, it was just very stressful that day. I didn't want to sing because I was embarrassed. You ever felt like that? I hear some or some nudging. Not at all. I didn't want to. I couldn't find the key. I was distracted. I look back on that day and I'm a little embarrassed of that. You know, that would probably get to a lot of us, especially if it was that obvious. I wasn't thinking about praising God. I was thinking about sounding good for the guy in front of me. Not the right reason to be singing. You know, having the right key is great and all, but it made me distracted from the purpose of singing. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. To me, my praise wasn't very becoming because I wasn't doing it for men. I didn't sound good to somebody. It was really about getting that finger out of his ear. Now, moving on, David specifies a harp with 10 strings. Notice how he specifies that this is a harp intended for worship to God. The lyre as well, used in worship. They're special. Continuing on to verse 3, sing to him a new song. Now we could say, well, that's our evidence and scripture passage verse to sing new songs all the time. Well, hold on a second. Let's tap the brakes. Not necessarily. What happens when we sing new songs? Has anybody ever tried a new song? Yeah, we all have. We've got a lot of new songs in the system here. We all have, or tried to play an instrument. playing a new song on an instrument. You know, I was in band in elementary school through high school and played the trombone, and we had private lessons for me to learn the new music. It takes effort to learn the new music. It takes focus to learn the new music. I know I'm saying new music a lot just because the text does, but that's not what it's about. It's about the focus placed on what is being done, the effort placed on what is being done. It also takes something else, and that's practice. You know, if you're looking to learn the Scripture, you're going to need to practice that. You don't learn by osmosis with the Bible. You need to be in the book. You practice. The point is also made to play in a skillful way, also implying a preparation before the play, before the honor to God. We've all seen firsthand what song worship looks like when it's not prepared for. You know, when we first got the PowerPoint slides, it was pretty difficult. And even now, you know, we're at the mercy of technology and people, and I think people mess up probably more than technology, but that's neither here nor there. It's tough to make it all work. And when we add this extra thing to the system, we need to practice. We need to practice what we're singing and put our focus on God so those distractions are limited. We'll talk more about that in a moment. David wants us to prepare. David wants his people to be prepared to honor and glorify God. Moving on in verse 3, it says, "Sing with a shout of joy." I'm not saying scream like a bunch of crazy people. Not at all. You know, when you think of the Battle of Jericho and the volume that must have been made in that instance. Not for the men and people to bring the walls down, but because that's what God told them to do. But right, wrong, or indifferent, anytime we raise our voices in any way, shows our confidence in what we're singing, what we're talking about. And you remember the last time you were in an argument, you raise the tone of your voice? If you had a strong point to make, did you raise the volume of your voice? Absolutely. Because you're confident in your opinions, you're confident in what you're doing. And even though we might not be as confident in the words of the song or how the tune goes, we're confident in the God that has given us these songs to sing. If you're confident, let Him hear it. It's encouraging. Is there a place for quiet music? You better believe it. You better believe it. Low in the grave He lay. Soft. Somber tone. But when we feel the joy of God arising, Jesus arising from the grave, how do we sing that? You could lift the roof off this place when we hit "up from the grave He arose," and everybody's belting it out. Because we're confident in that fact that the decision we made was the best deal of our lives. And up from the grave He arose, and we want to let everybody know about that. Confidence. You know, people notice the confidence in our singing. Here, David instructs us to shout, sing with confidence. Moving on to 4 through 11. God loves us. He's a powerful God. His plan lasts forever. Look at what all God has done for us. He's upright, faithful. He loves righteousness and justice. That's, you know, if you could describe a man like that, that's one of those people that you could say, "I can't say a thing about him. Just a good guy. Just a good girl." That is a candle in the sun compared to this. The world is full of God's love. Take a moment, just briefly, 10 seconds. List off 10 things in your mind that God has blessed you with. And we've got a lot of problems in this room. Think about it. What has God blessed you with? And where would you be without those blessings? Well, I'd be homeless. Well, yeah. Which home are you talking about? God speaks and makes things happen. He gathers the oceans in heaps. Have you ever spoken and made something happen? Yeah, you might be able to tell somebody what to do and the floor gets swept at work or something to that effect. Who gave you that mouth? God is in control of everything. Everything that we do. The power behind God's word is unimaginable. By His word, everything was made. God spoke and made the heavens. God gathers oceans. I can't gather laundry at home. God gathers oceans. You have something in very mighty in front of you, around you, inside you. So if you're in a position where something of such great power is in front of you, you have to make a decision. Are you going to do the will of God? Are you going to bow to Him? Are you going to fear Him? That's what the writer says here. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord, in verse 12, the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. Blessed are His chosen. God watches us over us and God delivers. You know, we often think about receiving an inheritance on our end. We receive the inheritance, maybe a family member passes on, and what is left over materially from their life goes to a child, family member, close friend. Look at verse 12, the last part. The people whom He has chosen, who God has chosen, for His own inheritance. You thought about that? That we are God's inheritance? I would say that an inheritance is a lifelong accumulation of whatever is liquid left over after a physical life goes on to someone else. God shows value in you. High value. If we were material beings, the only thing left in this world after we pass is whatever we've accumulated. We are what God has accumulated. And we are His inheritance. The one who made us by His design and understands how we work, the Lord is there watching us. Who better to watch over something than the designer, than the creator of what is being watched over? So we trust in our protector and creator. We don't trust in earthly kings, armies, like is said starting in verse 16. The king doesn't win these battles. The mighty warrior doesn't win these battles. Not even a horse, nice horse in a battle in this instance. You know, the U.S. is always coming out with the latest and greatest military toys. That doesn't win the battle. Think David knew anything about this? He understood that shiny armor, that big swords, that 9-foot-tall guys didn't win the battle. These warriors from these nations do not win the battle. Obviously, they get their heads cut off, and David knows this. His faith was in God. His passion was God. And God is watching over him. The eye of God is on those who fear and hope and trust. Think about a basketball team where the point guard or whoever's bringing the ball up the floor gets up to the other side of the court. The defense is already set, and he's beat his entire team down the floor. What happens? Oh, he pulls up. You can't go 1-on-5 and think you're going to do something good. Some people can. You know, it happens. But most times they pull up. Why is that? They wait for the rest of their offense to come down so that they have a better chance of scoring when it's 5-on-5 and not 1-on-5. Look at verse 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. We wait on God. We put our trust in the Lord. When we see the odds are against us, and they are, we wait on Him. We wait on our defender, our Lord. He is our defense. So to sum all that up, verse 1, sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Though God is righteous and upright, these are the reasons why we sing, why we rejoice. David laid it out for us. God is righteous and upright. We can trust Him. God wants effort put forth to praise Him. He wants skill. He wants shouts of joy. He loves us. He's all powerful. He created us. He designed us. He knows our inner workings. He knows why and how we've sinned. Put your trust in God. God has the only plan, and it's a good one. He foils the plans of the nations. Have you ever thought about doing something your own way and it don't work? It does not work very well. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. It's because you think you could do something about it. You can when you put your trust in God. He chose us as His inheritance and is in control of the plan. He watches over His chosen. And God is our defense. He delivers us from sin. He is our warrior. He is our king and our deliverer. All right, let's think about that. Chew on that. For just a moment. So many of you are aware of the R.J. Stevens, let me start up. The R.J. Stevens singing school that I participated in down in Murfreesboro a while back. And we're not going to go full bore singing school, okay? We're not going to talk about why all this makes sense or should make sense or whatever. We want to focus on what Psalm 33 has to say to us. Take just a quick look at this and sing about it. Anybody know shape notes? All right. Great. Great. Not everybody raised their hand, and that's all right, too. We'll figure it out. You want to figure it out? I can tell. All right. So 99.9% of every song in hymnals today start on Do, Mi, So, Do. I couldn't find a picture of just those four, so that's why we're stuck with looking at everything up there, okay? Do, Mi, So, Do. When does communication begin? When do you start your prayer to God? When do you start a conversation with someone? At the beginning. When did God start His conversation with us? In the beginning. In the beginning. I find it interesting sometimes that maybe we don't start singing until, all right, we know this is going to be a song now, and we're 7 or 8 words in, right? I'm guilty. Guilty as charged. We do that. I do that. So what can we do to start at the beginning, start the conversation? Well, if every note starts with a shake note at the beginning of a song, wouldn't it be great if we knew where to start? Everybody give me a do. All right, so there were 75 different notes right there. There's no way to make everybody's voice the same note if you just say, give me a do. I appreciate the participation very much. That's very good. So, shape notes don't determine what note they start at. All right? We're going to start on a C. Everybody hear that? I hear it. And guys, I got the idea about this, not just from the singing school, but because when you hear somebody blow the note, and you hear at least a few say it back, man, you know it's going to be good, you know it's going to be joyful, you know it's going to praise, you know you're on it. Because you're looking up, you're waiting for that note, you're looking for the dough, ready to roll. So what I'd like to do is go do, mi, so, do, not that high, and then go back down. And I promise if we get good participation, we'll do it one time. All right, so everybody look at each other awkwardly, like, is this for real? And then just make your mind up that we're going to do it and have confidence in what you're doing. All right, but we'll do a low C. Do, mi, so, do. Do, mi, so, do. And you all know more than me already because I went the wrong way and said the wrong thing. So I'm just learning this with you. Thank you for your patience. I picked songs tonight that we're all pretty familiar with. Okay? Because it's hard for you in the audience not knowing the songs that we're going to sing to prepare properly, if you ask me, what we're going to be singing. I know it's hard if you're wanting to use the PowerPoint, if it's a new song, and let's say it stays on the title page a little bit too long. And you don't know where to start, or you don't know the next words in the song. It's tough. So we've really been working hard at doing our best as song leaders to prepare this beforehand, to get it loaded so that whoever's clicking the slides is on it. Like I said, we're dealing with technology and we're dealing with people. Both fail. Just be patient. Realize we're here to serve God. Something else I wanted to mention, and not everybody might hear this throughout the building. You know, we have 3 different congregations singing at once. Song leaders, what do you think? No nods. Nobody's owning up to it. That's all right. It's my opinion, and I could be wrong. Occasionally, we've got a lot of folks on this side, about the same number in the middle, and then a smaller amount on this side. We've got one, I could point to anywhere. We've got folks going at one speed, another speed, and another speed. Do we hear that sometimes? Look up. Look up as much as you can. And that's a responsibility of the song leader as well, to demand that presence, to blow that dough, to raise eyebrows, to say, hey, we're getting ready to sin. Okay? I'm not going to say one, two, and go. And then do that by any means. That's RJ might have done that, but he's quite a bit better than me. But I've been watching his videos and stuff, and pretty good. All right. I think I've covered everything I want to cover as far as that goes. So back to Psalm 33. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Bob. And I just gave away that Bob's the one that clicks. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. And we've got a lot of advice here lately since we've implemented this thing. And a lot of it's been really good and helpful, especially the part about looking through the song before we sing. Because, look, you see not even half of verse 1 right there. We've got this song pretty well memorized, I'd say. But hallelujah, praise Jehovah. From the heavens, praise His name. Praise Jehovah in the highest. All His angels praise proclaim. All His hosts together praise Him. Sun and moon and stars on high. Praise Him, O ye heaven of heavens, and ye floods above the sky. You see a theme. I've selected songs that bring us back to Psalm 33 tonight about our praise to God. I won't read all the verses. So time is of the essence. Number 9, hallelujah, praise Jehovah. I encourage you to get a book out or do what you want, but I do really encourage you to sing out. Oh, so. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. From the heavens, praise His name. Praise Jehovah.
Children small, let them pray.
Number 107. Number 107. If you are using the book, you'll notice down here in this corner, it gives you the do right there, B flat. It gives you where to start as well. So, oh, so, how great thou art. Oh, so, oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider. My soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. My soul, my Savior God, to thee. We'll sing the first two verses, normal volume. We're going to sing verse 3 very quietly and verse 4. Let's liven it up. Number 159, My Jesus, I love you. Love thee. Song of invitation will be number 314. No, 33. Psalm 33 is in a great position right after 32, with David talking about his transgressions being forgiven and the joy that he shares. After that, I don't know if you've read it recently, but are you upright in heart? Have you put your trust in the Lord? Psalm 32. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in those in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. Have you ever lived in sin and knew it? It hurts, doesn't it? It's a battle inside you. Your body wastes away, and you groan all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledge my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. Therefore let everyone who is godly pray to thee in a time when thou mayst be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not reach him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou dost preserve me from trouble. Thou dost surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise they will not come near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Trust in the Lord. Take a look again at verse 10. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Go back up to verse 1. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin has been covered. Skip down to 3 through 5. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. Do you feel like that? God's hand was heavy upon me. Vitality was drained away from David. But he acknowledged his sin to God. And he didn't hide his sin. He didn't hide his iniquity. God knows our inner workings. You can't hide it. Look back at verse 10. Many are the sorrows of the wicked. Then back up to 1. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is he? If you have any need tonight, be blessed. Put your trust in God. He is your defender. He is your Savior. And if you're feeling like His hand is heavy upon you, it is. It is. Make that change tonight. Let's all stand and sing number 314, I Need Thee.